Good evening, folks, and a hearty welcome to our drive-in theater. We have a wonderful evening's entertainment lined up for you.
One that will provide several hours of pleasurable relaxation.
Washington, London, Paris, Moscow are key targets. The whole world is under attack.
Who built it? The Russians? The Chinese? Martians? Canadians? I don't care! All I know is we didn't build it, and that's reason enough to assume the worst and blow up the kingdom come.
For 100,000 years, it was buried in the snow and ice. Now it has found a place to live. Inside. Where no one can see it.
Soldiers and their weapons would be powerless before the onslaught of the beast. The beast. The beast. The beast from 20,000 fathoms.
Guns, tanks, bombs. They're like toys against them.
It's indestructible. It's indescribable. Nothing can stop it. The nation and then the world could fall before the blood-curdling threat of...
Sci-Fi Double Feature Driving Podcast.
Gentlemen, Godzillas and Mothras, aliens and predators. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In Podcast.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. I'm your conspiracy-loving host, Elisa Weglin, and sitting next to me is my radioactive partner in grime, Jarrett the Kaiju Man Weglin.
Hey there, guys.
Hey. So, this episode is a bonus special episode.
Yeah.
Join us at the concession stand.
Yeah. Grab some snacks.
Some snacks. Grab some popcorn. A Slurpee.
Yeah, we're actually going to be talking about some best and worst.
Best and worst of science fiction in 2017, since it's the end of the year.
TVs and movies.
Get out of here, 2017.
You had some okay movies, but the rest of you can give
Yeah, get the fuck out. So, we should start, I suppose, with television, since there's way less of that.
Yeah, let's just
less sci-fi television. There's lots of other television.
At least sci-fi television worth talking about.
Yeah, we're not going to go through all the sci-fi networks, failed projects of the year.
Or like, I think it was Spike TV's The Mist.
Oof.
Yeah, when I heard about it and I watched the first episode, even though I was told not to by many people.
including me.
Yeah, I heard it was awful and everything, but I love the movie and I love the story. I was like, I'm going to give it a chance. It's on Netflix, whatever. And it wasn't even the sci-fi channel like I thought it was. It was Spike TV.
Spike TV.
What the fuck? I didn't even know Spike was even around anymore.
Men love Stephen King.
Yeah. I didn't make it through the first episode, by the way. It's really bad.
Yeah. I had heard it was awful, and I saw Jarrett's eyes when he saw it on Netflix, and I was like, no, babe. I've heard it's bad. And he's like, I still have to try.
I have to try it.
So I think by far the star of the year is Stranger Things.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Yeah.
Should I stay or should I go now?
That's what you were intending to do. Okay. Yeah. You were trying to sing. Yeah. So, yes, they like the Clash in that show. So, Stranger Things had its second season.
Yeah.
And it was very good.
I was waiting.
Yeah. I mean, we had waited quite a while. I think everyone did. It's not like it was on TV before it came to Netflix. It was a Netflix
no,
only.
No, definitely not.
But I know that there are some people who dislike episode...
Seven?
Yeah. Is it seven? I liked it just fine. By the way, this episode that we were doing will be full of spoilers.
Yeah, of course. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Every time you hear the name of something and you haven't seen it.
I mean, our podcast is all about spoilers. I mean, We usually do talk about older movies, though, so I guess we should say spoiler alert.
Spoilers.
Spoiler alert, since spoiler we're talking alert. About newer stuff in this episode.
Yeah, this is all this year. So yeah. If you haven't seen all of sci-fi this year,
yeah,
go watch it and then come back.
We're hoping you're big enough sci-fi fans, since you're listening to this podcast, that you've seen most of this stuff.
Yeah. But anyway, so people say they didn't like episode 7, but I think it was just fine. I thought it was good.
I'm on the camp that I did not like it.
I know. I thought it was a good delve into who 11 was.
Yeah, I agree that we should dive into that a little bit, but I don't think we should give up a full episode about it.
I think women should get their own
episode. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying anything.
Leave 11 alone.
I'm not saying anything about women.
Okay.
Why do you automatically think it's about women?
Because I think that if it was all about, like, Dustin or Will, like, there was a whole bunch of just Dustin storyline. Like him.
Yeah, but Dustin is in the town, not in some random town that's not even near Derry.
But it wasn't like
Derry. Derry is the it town. It's very similar.
But I mean, there's whole storylines based around other characters, and if Will tour of like Runaway or Mike or something, and they were to have followed them, there would have been nearly as many complaints.
Maybe
not from you. I know that you were more fair and unbiased, but
I just
the nerd world isn't.
I think that it was just a very abrupt change of storyline.
I understand.
If they were doing it throughout the series, like checking back with that group in Chicago, then I think it would be okay. But it was just like building, what's happening in this town. And then, okay, we're going to go do this for a little bit. That has nothing to do with what we're building up.
Well, I mean, it does for 11's story. Like, the end wouldn't be the same without 11's story, I don't think. Like, her struggle at the end.
Then again, I think
to close the door.
Then again, I think they're going to bring back 8, the other girl that
I think they are too.
So I mean, I understand why they wanted to show her for at least an episode, even though she wasn't the very first episode for a little bit.
Yeah, and I understand it was a tone shift.
Yeah,
like it seemed like a different movie, even though it had 11 in it.
Yeah,
the one in Chicago from what's going on in Indiana, especially because the season was so funny.
It seemed like a very big character shift for 11, too, and it didn't happen gradually. Even though it's okay for her to change, it just seemed very quick for her to be like, oh, I'm goth now.
Yeah. Well, also, we didn't see, like, a whole year of her learning how to person.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it was abrupt for everyone to be like, whoa, she shows more emotion. She talks.
Yeah.
So I think it was a breath for everyone.
So, I mean, we need to talk about the biggest star of
Dart. You want to talk about Dart.
Season 2.
I know you want to talk about Dart.
The Demodog.
And we fought at first about whether...
And I was right about it all along.
I couldn't believe you were right. I was so convinced you'd be wrong that Dart was going to be a good Demogorgon.
Yeah, Dart turned out to be not completely good, but just like Dustin.
No, he still would murder, like, everyone.
He liked Dustin enough to let him go at the end.
And he also liked candy bars enough.
Yeah, and he was so cute.
I know, you thought he was cute.
I know that other people have an affinity for Dart as well. I'm not the only one, but...
He was cute, just he ended up, being a murdering monster.
Yeah, but he's one of the good murdering monsters. Because he has a spot on his back.
Yeah.
So that's why he's good.
Okay. All right.
He got his 2.5 minutes of our show. Good for Dart.
Good for Dart. Hashtag.
Do it for Dart.
Do it for Dart. That was your hashtag. Jarrett comes with very good hashtags for shows he likes.
Leave it to Lucas.
Yeah, he got Lucas to retweet him last
yeah,
year.
Last season, the actor Lucas retweeted my hashtag, Leave It To Lucas.
So, Lucas, if you're listening, hashtag labor to Lucas.
Yes, exactly.
I know that's not his real name. His real name is Lucas. So, moving on to another sci-fi special for this year. I felt like Twin Peaks took a very hard left turn into science fiction.
Yeah, from something that was mainly, from the first two seasons, that was mainly kind of just paranormal.
It was like paranormal thriller, like crime show. Like it was
comedy.
Very, it was a weird, David Lynch knows what genre it is.
Yeah.
Only David Lynch.
Yeah.
But this season just got way, I mean, there's only three seasons and it's like broken into two parts. But this season, The Return, took a lot more from science fiction, I would say. And that's why I was excited more. I wasn't more excited about it than the first part. You know, nobody wants to anger Twin Peaks fans. All right. We don't want to say anything to anger those Twin Peaks fans. They're crazy.
I mean, we are both Twin Peaks fans, but we are not like some of these other ones that could.
It's the same like the way that some Rick and Morty's fans don't want to talk about other Rick and Morty fans.
Yeah, there's no Twin Peaks sauce, though.
No. And I haven't heard of anyone like beating someone up outside of a McDonald's recently over cherry pie. But, I mean, especially with episode 8, where there was just a very strange, long episode about how the nuclear bomb created the evil in the world, and
forgive.
And there was a moth frog that flew into a girl's mouth. You never find out. By the way, who that girl is. You never find out. Anything about the 119 lady?
No.
You never find out. You never find out a lot of things about the new.
If you did not watch Twin Peaks, you have no idea what the fuck she's saying.
Yeah. It's. I just realized that a lot of that could sound like really insane.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying
this. You never find out about crazy meth armpit rash lady. Never find out about her.
No.
What about the girl who's screaming on the ground? In the Bang Bang Bar.
Yep. And
nothing.
If all this, if you haven't seen Twin Peaks, this probably is not making you want to watch it. Or maybe it is.
No. Seriously, if you are thinking about Twin Peaks and you're listening to me say these things right now and you're like, that sounds stupid, don't watch it. Because you're going to be very confused and bored and you're going to hate it. And that doesn't make you stupider than me,
although,
or less exciting than me. It makes you maybe more wise with your time.
Although I am a fan of Twin Peaks, and even though I enjoyed a lot of the third season, I was not impressed. I did not like the third season at all.
Yeah.
In the end, after it wrapped up, I love the first and second seasons.
So. I love Fire Walk With Me, too.
The movie's pretty good, but
the movie's much different. It's weird. Like, there's a different tone for season 1 and 2.
Yeah.
There's a different tone for Fire Walk With Me, and then there's a different tone for The Return.
Yeah.
It's, like, completely different.
Mm-hmm.
It's so strange. But, yeah, I guess we're as confused about how we feel about The Return as what happened about The Return.
If you want just, like, a mild hot sauce version of Twin Peaks, just watch season 1 and 2. I think you'll still like it.
Yeah.
And if you're compelled to go on for more, it gets weirder, but go ahead.
It gets weirder. If you thought it was possible from 1 and 2, because 1 and 2 are pretty weird. Anyway, so moving on to what we're excited about.
Yeah.
We're very excited. Very excited for X-Files coming next year.
X-Files.
I am super excited. I've been waiting for them to come back. The last episode of last season.
Cliffhanger.
was a real cliffhanger. It's like, Mulder might die. They need to find their son. And you gotta wait a year and a half.
And then the UFO is just right above.
Yeah, like Scully. Ready to abduct Scully.
Or just, no, because I think that, because that same UFO was at the first episode of that season, and it did that, and it killed that girl.
Yeah.
So is it going to kill Scully, or is it going to abduct her?
Who knows?
Obviously, it doesn't kill her, because...
Obviously, because we've seen the commercials for the new season. She's still alive. But, yes, very excited. I'm sure it will be great. I mean, they did a great job bringing it back, which is really rare for TV shows that go that long on a hiatus, like Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
And they bring it back. It's very hard to bring old fans as well as new fans into it. And I think X-Files did a great job with that.
Yeah, one thing they did was they didn't really change the writing style that much. The episodes were pretty similar in tone. They had the same kind of subtle comedic tones in there. But what they did to kind of update it was have because a lot of the older older X-Files episodes would have guest stars of the day, like a lot of comedic people that grew up to be big stars, like Jack Black and Seth Green. The newer season that came out, like, what was it, 2 years ago?
It was when we were in Anaheim, so I think it was like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, so it wasn't too long ago, but they were having people like the guy that plays Murray on Fly the Conchords. Yeah. He was on one episode. And now they're all escaping my head, but they had...
they had some good cameos.
Yeah, yeah. Even the Lone Gunman came back.
Wasn't Kumail Nanjiani?
Kumail Nanjiani was in one of them, yeah.
Yeah, right. And he's a huge X-Files fan.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's kind of one way they update it.
Well, and also, like, they kept the formula of, you know, they have their comedic moments and stuff, but there's always the goofy monster episode.
Yeah, they have the monster of the week.
Vampire that crawls upside down on ceiling and has vein babies is eating babies in the South. And it's like, gotta go. And Scully and Mulder argue sillily on the phone the whole time.
Like, and Mulder tries to cope with Google.
Oh, yeah. They bring all the new technology in. Another show we're very excited about for its upcoming season is Black Mirror. I definitely think that compared to season 1 and 2, season 3 definitely was not as good.
I'm just sounding like a big cynic besides my love for the X-Files. well, I did like Stranger Things, but yeah, the last Black Mirror season was kind of touch and go for me.
Yeah, there was like some episodes that were like, wow, damn, that was Black Mirror. That was great.
I loved the virtual reality one.
Yeah, and then there was just some episodes where it's like, whew, you couldn't have taken that through another rewrite.
Yeah, I know.
You couldn't have, that just wasn't up to standard. Like, yeah.
I think because it got popular so quick, they kind of rushed that season out maybe.
Well, and then also Netflix bought it, so there was a transition.
Yeah.
Because it went from British TV to Netflix. So it's a complete transition to power. It's not just like another TV station in England bought it. It's like a whole other country bought it.
I didn't even check to see, but I think maybe the showrunner still stayed with it, the creator, but... they probably a lot of people changed over, so.
Yeah, so I think they were probably getting used to each other, so I'm hoping that, you know, they've now worked together for a while.
Yeah.
That they're very, very good at what they do.
Yeah.
Because we saw the trailer for the first episode that's going to come out. I mean, of course, there was the general trailer that showed, like, clips from everything, but they just came out. If you haven't seen it already, look it up. It's great. The trailer for the first episode, Archangel. And it looks very creepy.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
It looks like standard Black Mirror creepy future technology.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very excited about it.
But then again, the trailer for the third season really looked good.
Hey, we always should be hopeful.
I'm not
hopeful. We
don't
have to get our hopes up, but we can be hopeful.
Yeah, I know. I haven't had a lot of hope lately.
Well, we can always be hopeful.
Yeah, I know.
We got to keep our hopes there, but not up. Don't let them get away from you. but keep them in front of you. So
you want to go through our top three first? And then...
Yeah, let's do our top three. So, Jarrett, what is your top three movies of, or sci-fi movies of 2017?
Oh, man. This year's actually been pretty good for sci-fi movies. I mean, as far as quantity-wise, I'm not saying they were all good, but...
Well, the quality of what was good was really good.
Yeah, yeah. And there's also just more... It also seemed like just more in general, like even the bad ones, there was just more this year than the past couple ones.
Well, and as we'll talk about later, 2018 even looks better.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like sci-fi is just getting better and better.
Yeah, I think so. And, yeah, so top three. I'll start from the bottom up.
All right.
Number three, Kong Skull Island.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought that that movie had was just done very well. I thought that they could have really fumbled after the 2014 Godzilla, since it's in the same universe. And they could have just remade that, but with King Kong. But they didn't. They kind of made it a Vietnam War movie, but with discovering King Kong, which was really cool. And they created a whole atmosphere about it. And the way that they connected it with the whole Monarch organization that's in the Godzilla movies and the whole Monsterverse that they're building really fleshes out that whole Monsterverse, and it seems like it's really going to be fun. And John Goodman is so good.
Hell yes. Of course, if I have any thoughts on these movies, I will wait to share them until I get to my top three. But...
Yes. Okay. Number two. I just saw this. I did not see it in theaters. I think we might have just been busy when it came out or something, because I didn't want to...
I think it was around the wedding.
Oh yeah, I did want to see it. Oh no, I think it came out even before that. But it came out
like right before the wedding, so we were really busy.
Yeah. Yeah. Number two, War for the Planet of the Apes.
Woo!
I was just astonished by this movie. When it came out, people were saying, "Oh man, we have to petition for this movie to get Oscar buzz because." There hasn't been a sci-fi movie to get any kind of Oscar recognition, even a nomination, but this movie has the potential for that. And I don't put too much weight in, like, the Oscars or anything anymore, because obviously some of their picks are kind of null and void in my head, but this movie is just so amazing with the special effects, the story. It's just so heartfelt, and it really even put tears in my eyes, so... I really like this movie, and it's really weird to have, I've said this before, but it's really weird to have the last one in the trilogy be the best one of the trilogy, even though I like the other two a lot, but this is the best one.
It's an amazing trilogy. I hope that, it's actually one of those things where I hope that they continue.
Yeah, well, I think this might go into the other one, the older ones, but I'm not sure if it would continue.
But what happens to Nova? How does she go from knowing him to not knowing him? Sorry, we had this conversation when the movie finished. All right, so what's your number one?
Number one is Logan.
Yes.
This is one of the two movies that I allowed myself to be brought to tears with. I allow myself two a year.
Two a year? What was the other one?
War of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, so you're done for this year.
Yeah, I'm done.
If you see the best movie of your life this week, you cannot be moved to tears.
Yeah. So, yeah, Logan is an amazing piece of film. I mean, yeah, just winding down that Wolverine story, it's the best of the X-Men stories. Just the fact that they finally got the balls to make it a rated R story. It's the end of Professor X's story as well. It's the beginning of X-23's story. It's just a real big collision of a whole bunch of ends and beginnings, and it's just made really well.
Awesome.
So, Alisa,
yeah?
What could possibly be your top three movies.
All right. Well, starting at the bottom, just like you, number three is same as yours, Kong.
Yeah, King Kong. It's such a good movie.
It was amazing. I really, really love the cinematography and the direction in this movie. Mm-hmm. There were some really beautiful shots, especially because, as you said, it was kind of filmed like a Vietnam movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way that they shot, like, the helicopters and, you know, the forest and everything at sunset. And it was just very, very well shot. And, of course, John Goodman... so good as crazy. And I just loved, you know, Samuel L. Jackson, Brie Larson. There was a lot of good people in this. Oh, and John C. Riley. He was really fucking funny.
He is probably, even though I love John Goodman, John C. Reilly is probably the best character in this movie.
Oh, yeah. And best interpretation of comedic relief I've ever seen. It's not forced.
It's
not awkward. It's not like, this is the comedic relief. No. It's like, he just does it, and it's the best. And seriously, it's like, it mixes perfectly with this dramatic... hard story.
Yeah.
And it's perfect.
Yeah. And he's the one that you care about the most.
He is.
I mean.
And his story with his friend.
Brie Larson is a great actress, but I mean, she wasn't at her best in this movie.
Well, it wasn't her story.
No, I don't think.
I think they made it John C. Reilly's story.
Yeah.
And I mean, the movie, because, like, they put on the back burner John Goodman's story and how he kind of is the one who brings Monarch about and stuff. Like, everything kind of got put on the back burner for John C. Reilly, which I was kind of fine with.
Yeah, I mean, the movie does open with John C. Reilly, technically. Yeah.
But, like, I mean, normally in those cases, you would, like, mind if the other characters weren't written up to par.
Yeah.
But I was just very satisfied. Mm-hmm. The John C. Reilly performance. I didn't really care.
Yeah.
I was like, whatever, Tom Hiddleston. Your character sucks. You're great as Loki, but this character sucks ass.
Yeah, he was kind of stale.
He was the worst character. If John C. Reilly's the best one, that guy's the worst one.
One of the... I can't remember his name. The guy that played Dr. Dre in Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah.
He was
he was the military guy.
He was John Goodman's, like, not assistant, but...
Like, best man.
He helped with Monarch, basically. He was great in it, too. Better than Tom Hiddleston.
Tom Hiddleston was the weakest link in that movie.
Yeah, I mean...
Sorry, Tom Hiddleston.
He's
great as Loki, but he was really not great. This weird British accent thing that he had going on. And if he's, like, British normally, then, you know, he's got a weird accent just in general in his life.
I just think that, I don't know if they just wanted him to, play...
It is star power. It was just for star power, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, because he...
Because he just didn't fit.
He seems to thrive when he has a little bit of the comedic, like, Loki in there, you know? But
I mean, that character was supposed to be comedic.
Oh, yeah. No, I know that, but, I mean, he thrives with a little bit more range than just the...
Yeah, it was like a weird, like, British guy who's like, hey, I'm tough.
Yeah.
Like, very not Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah.
So, my second favorite movie of the year was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Volume 2.
Guardians is my favorite comic
book. Is it Brandy?
Yes, that is a song in the movie. I was going to sing some more of it, but I forgot the words after that. They're my favorite comic book superheroes. They're my fave.
You're a fine girl.
What a good wife you would be. It's James Gunn's a fucking amazing director.
Oh, yeah. When that movie comes out, you were also waiting for the soundtrack to come out, too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, literally all of the Guardians of the Galaxy music from Volume 1 and Volume 2 were on our wedding playlist.
Yeah.
So thank you, James Gunn, for basically picking our wedding playlist.
Exactly. But yeah, that movie was great. That's probably my number 4.
Was amazing. Like, I know that there was people who are like complaining it wasn't as strong as Volume 1, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, Volume 2 was more of a close
character
building. Because the next one's going to be
Infinity Wars,
which is going to be huge. So I think that because the first one was so big and, you know, it was just building up the story, they needed to build up the characters. And I think that was a great choice on James Gunn's part.
Yeah, they needed to build up a lot of the characters because, I mean, the next one, Drax is going to be meeting Thanos because he still wants to kill Thanos because he killed his wife and daughter.
When we see, like, these characters go into a movie where they're kind of going to get lost, I mean, we want to be attached to them so that we care what happens to them, even if we're not constantly following their character in the next movie.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think like this was great as a way to get to know our, favorite characters. Like, I think you really get to know, like, you really start to feel for Star-Lord. I mean, because before it's just like, oh, he's just a bravado asshole. And then, you know, this movie makes you realize, like, he's this person who cared so deeply about his family and everything. And you just feel more, like, connected to these people than just, like, ah.
Yeah.
I can describe you in 3 words.
Tall, dark, and handsome.
Tall, dark, and handsome. Bravado asshole over the... Oh, that's more than one. That's more than 3 words. Anyway. Yeah. So, my number 1 pick is... Logan,
as
well as Jared. It's the best superhero movie I've ever seen, and you know what, I think Guardians of the Galaxy is the best too, but they're completely different.
Oh yeah.
Logan is the best I've ever seen besides anything else, like compared to every Spider-Man that's ever existed, Iron Man's, all the other X-Men, ever anything. Batman.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But, like, because we watched it in theaters, and then we bought the DVD, and we watched the noir version.
Yeah, it's black and white.
Let me tell you, I didn't miss the color at all.
No, I think I don't think I'm going to watch it regular. I'm going to watch it noir every time.
Yeah, but, like, normally you would notice something like that, or it would seem out of place. But the thing is, like, I couldn't even remember what the color looked like. It was like it was part of that movie.
Yeah.
And I think that says a lot about how strong it was emotionally and everything. That you don't miss the visual filler of color.
No, yeah.
You know? To stimulate you. Because, like, I have to tell you, like, the story is so amazing. It addresses the fact that perfect people can... fall apart, and be human, like, because it's all about these people who are superheroes, who are looked up to and everything, being so human. And that's something a lot of the times that, you know, gets glossed over in superhero movies, or like we see them being a normal person, but they're not really suffering from humanity, you know. And like Wolverine's getting sick, and Dr. X is, he suffers from epilepsy now, which can literally kill everybody. And then, you know, he realizes that they've been engineering mutants and, like, basically torturing these children and all this stuff. And it's just so human. I keep using that word, but it's just, like, everything about the story just makes it, like, you feel like it could be real, you know? Yeah. And just the connection between Logan and his... it's major spoiler alert, daughter.
X-23.
It's just, it's one of the most beautifully developed things in a script and in character work between Hugh Jackman and the girl who played X-23. It was so wonderfully done.
Yeah.
Like, really the emotion between the two actors and the way it's written in the script is amazing. I think it was... a beautiful movie. I cried multiple times. And it's violent. Like, it's not like, oh, what a tearjerker. Let's go watch Wolverine have a heart. It's like, damn, that movie is brutal as well. Like,
it's how a Wolverine movie should be.
It should be. It's dark and heartbreaking. And you see, like, him being vulnerable and stuff. And, you know, that's how Wolverine is, like, besides, like, you know, the goofiness behind comic books in general. You know, he's, like, this very broken human being.
Yeah.
And I was very glad to see a superhero movie like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that movie.
Me too. All right, well, since we have been talking everyone's ear off about specific things and details, I haven't even gotten to all the movies that come out this year. Let's go through these relatively quickly. So, the movies that have come out this year that we thought would be noteworthy to mention, because there are more than this, but we don't want to talk about movies that... we haven't seen and know nothing about.
Yeah.
Because we'll talk about some movies that we haven't seen, but we do know something about. But anyway, so, and when when I mention the name, let's say whether we liked it or not.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Logan, we just talked about it. Loved it.
Loved it.
Loved it.
Favorite of the year.
Favorite. An amazing superhero movie goes, I think it's much more science fiction because it's about engineering people.
Yeah.
Like, they're literally building human beings to be superheroes. So it was definitely very sci-fi, you know. And, yeah, great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Hugh Jackman looks like a little tiny person in the next movie because he lost all his muscle.
The Greatest Showman.
Oh, God. Jarrett keeps trying to convince me it's him in the commercial, and it's I can't even believe it.
At first I thought I said The Greatest Snowman.
The Greatest Snowman on Earth. Sequel to the Michael Fassbender movie Snowman.
Snowman.
Very nice. Anyway, next. Kong Skull Island.
Thought it was great.
Great.
Can't wait to see him fight Godzilla.
I know, I'm very excited. I'm very, very excited.
He better lose, though.
Yes. Godzilla wins always. Praise Godzilla.
And they better not cop out and just make them fight a little bit and then have to team up and fight something else.
You know they're going to team up.
I know, they're going to cop out and do that.
Because in this one, he fights Mothra and King Ghidorah.
Yeah,
you know he's probably going to team up with Mothra.
Well, that's what they're going to do because Mothra, Rodan, and King Ghidorah. Fight King Ghidorah.
Yeah, that's the way it was in the first chapter. One.
Yeah.
And then you know, since it's just Godzilla and King Kong, they're going to team up and fight something else.
Yeah, because then...
Because nobody wants to see either of them die.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know.
Whatever, it's monsters fighting, and I like
and
it.
And the end, the cookie at the end, ooh!
The cookie? Where,
it's like a cookie, you know, the dessert at the end of the meal. The cookie at the end.
The end credits?
Yeah, the end clip.
Oh, okay.
The cookie at the end.
Yeah.
It's a cookie.
Okay, it's a cookie. It's cookie, folks.
It was them showing, you know, Godzilla and stuff like written on a cave wall. Or...
Yeah, Mothra. All of them.
It was dope. So that was cool. Next is Colossal. Awesome.
Not what I expected at all.
No. It was far better.
Yeah.
We thought it was going to be like this goofy ass movie, and it was so much deeper than that.
Yeah, and I'm not an Anne Hathaway fan. I'm not really a Jason Sudeikis fan, really. But this movie.
They were great in it.
Yeah, they won me over.
Yeah, I was like, damn, Anne Hathaway, way to make a comeback this year. I mean, I didn't hear that many people talk about that movie, which is a shame, because I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. It's out on Netflix. No, it was on Hulu.
Yeah, it was on Hulu when we watched it. Yeah. If you haven't seen Colossal, it's a great kaiju movie for, like, a modern kaiju movie, you know? And I think it has a really great story twist that you don't expect.
Yeah, it's really cool.
For the Planet of the Apes.
Love it.
Love it. It's great. I think it's amazing.
The special effects should definitely win.
Oh, if the special effects don't win, literally that whole movie special effects. They literally had to create acting.
But the script is great as well. It's...
And
grabs your heart.
Yeah.
Twists it around.
Who plays Caesar?
Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis should win. Best leading actor. Anyway, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Loved it. It's
great.
So great.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
I already talked about that quite a bit. Alien Covenant. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Definitely was weirded out by David. when he's like playing the flute and like the touching on his robot friend. That was weird.
I like it a lot.
I liked the aliens.
If anything, it's good to see aliens in full stride again.
Yes, and I am very excited because the next movie is going to be about basically David's the one who creates xenomorphs, which is crazy.
Well, he already created
them. Well, that was a huge spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. David's the creator of xenomorphs, everybody. He's a real creep.
It's cool to see him running around and killing people again. It's been a while.
Yeah, it was really fun, like the alien parts and stuff, although like people died really fast. Yeah. I was like, fuck, there's like no fighting any of you.
There's some plot holes.
I can't believe they thought that they tricked us that David was dead. I can't believe they thought that they fooled us. It was like, no, there's no way you fooled us.
No, it's no way.
No way. And the ending was really anxiety-inducing when, like, she realizes it's David.
Oh, yeah.
He's putting her in the pod.
That was pretty cool.
And then you see him put the embryos of the xenomorphs in with a million of humans.
Danny McBride was good. He had a bigger role than I thought.
Yeah, he was one of the survivors.
Yeah.
Ain't that something?
I was happy they gave him a bigger role than I thought. So,
yeah.
And he was good in he obviously was one of the more comedic characters, but he was more serious than I thought, and he did it good.
He had an arc.
Yeah.
He had an arc. So next one is Thor Ragnarok.
Ragnarok.
Ragnarok. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was. This is our most recent watch.
Yeah, we saw this like last week.
So, I really liked this movie a lot.
I loved it. I thought Jeff Goldblum was hilarious and had a way bigger part than I expected.
Oh, yeah. And this is the perfect direction for the Thor movies.
I love this new like Flash Gordon vibe.
Yeah.
Let's stick with the Flash Gordon vibe.
And this is what a lot of the Thor comics were, so I don't know what people are complaining about, if people are complaining.
Like, I didn't give a shit about Thor till this movie. Well, besides Beta Ray Bill. Beta Ray Bill is bae forever.
Thor was fun in the Avengers movies.
What?
Thor was fun in the Avengers
movies. Yeah, he's funny. He's funny, but I mean the comics.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't give a shit about those except for Beta Ray Bill.
I like Throg.
Throg's cool. That's the best part about Thor comics is this guy. Ridiculous ass shit.
Yeah.
Like a horse-headed Thor.
Frog
named
Thor.
Beta Ray Bill. And Beta Ray Bill was in Thor Ragnarok, in case you guys didn't know. He was in it. He was one of the heads on the building.
All right, we didn't see this next one, but we kind of already know. Transformers The Last Knight.
Shit.
Stinkaroo.
We didn't need to see it. Didn't need to waste the money. It's shit.
Next one. Life.
Life. It was okay.
The Game of Life.
It was okay.
Seemed like it drew heavily on the Alien movies.
Yeah. It was basically about an alien that goes in a ship and takes over and kills
Didn't
everybody.
Do too much new stuff.
They did the flamethrowers too.
Yeah.
I remember the whole movie. I was like, Jared, that's the thing from Aliens.
Yeah. I like Jake Gyllenhaal a lot, so...
Jake Gyllenhaal was great. Ryan Reynolds didn't do too terrible.
No.
He's usually awful. Anyway, Life was decent. It was a decent sci-fi movie.
It's worth, like, a red box, I guess.
It's worth a red box, a rent on Amazon for $2.
Yeah.
Don't rent the HD version, rent the SD version. You don't need to see good for this. Next is Spider-Man.
Homecoming.
I loved it.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's the way Spider-Man always should have been. Oh,
yeah.
God, like, Tobey Maguire, shit. The guy who was after him, Andrew Garfield? Shit. This guy, I don't even know this kid's name.
Tom Holland.
Tom Holland. fucking awesome. He was so adorable. He was the exact goofy ass teenager making stupid puns that you would expect Spider-Man to be. He's not too grown up. He's not too young. He's, you know, a high school kid who is too awkward and, you know, he's your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Michael Keaton was great.
Michael Keaton was amazing. I was just, the whole movie, I was like, Jarrett, it's Birdman. Jarrett, it's Birdman. And, it was a really amazing Spider-Man. I think it was the best Spider-Man I've ever seen. And I am happy that Spider-Man's going in this direction.
Yeah, definitely worth watching.
Buy that one.
Yeah.
You don't need to Redbox that one. You can buy that one. Good faith.
Marvel's hitting it out of the park.
Marvel. God damn Marvel. We did not see this one. Unfortunately, this was when we were getting married.
Yeah.
So we did not have time. But Blade Runner 2049.
I've heard great stuff.
Yeah, I've heard good things.
I'm going to see it. I was never a huge fan of the first one, but I was told I should still see this one. Some people said it was better.
We'll probably Redbox it or rent it when it gets on Amazon.
I was also told I saw the wrong cut of the first Blade Runner. There's like 7 different cuts.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
So we'll see about that.
Okay, so we did not see this one either, but Geostorm, heard it's shit.
Oh, man.
Heard it is shit.
It was supposed to come out in like 1997. And then it was postponed, and then it was supposed to come out 2 years ago, and then it was postponed, and then they put Batman versus Superman out instead.
Because it's garbage, I'm sure.
Oh, it looks bad.
The next one, we did not see this either because we refused to watch DC movies, is Justice League. Heard it's shit.
Heard it was really bad.
And the one thing that makes me really disappointed is I saw screenshots. Okay.
Here she goes.
Now I sound like a fucking idiot. Anyway, so the thing that pisses me off is in the Wonder Woman movie that was directed by a woman, there were the Amazonian's costumes were actually rather decent realistic armor. And then Zack Snyder decided to make them have, like, no clothes on again. And it's like, come on. Come on. You put out the first female superhero movie, Wonder Woman, and then you got to go backwards?
Well,
come on, guys.
It didn't seem to help the movie, so.
Good. I'm glad he wasn't rewarded for his sexism. So, we have yet to see this, but we are really excited to. It is Godzilla Planet of the Monsters. It is the Japanese out of Toho anime.
Very first Godzilla anime. It's supposed to come out next year, I think.
Next year here. It already came out.
Yeah, it's already out in Japan. It's going to come out here next year on Netflix. It looks really cool, so we're going to look out for that one.
Definitely. Just got to wait for it to get subtitled. So things that haven't come out but we're really excited about: Shape of the Water.
Oh yeah.
And Guillermo del Toro.
Love Guillermo.
Oh great. So excited. Also excited for next year for Pacific Rim 2.
Yeah, even though he didn't direct that one.
But he is like the guy who made it up, so.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Anyways.
Oh, and then the last movie we're excited about this year, The Last Jedi. So we're excited about that. When maybe in a future special bonus concession stand episode, we'll talk about how we felt about it.
Yeah.
If that interests you guys, if you care what we think about it.
Yeah.
Because if you don't care what we think about it, then why would we talk about it?
We obviously have our double features set in stone, but
we can always do bonus concession stand episodes if you guys like hearing how we feel.
Yeah, definitely. Because Last Jedi is a big event.
Yes, indeed. All right, so we are actually running hard on time here, but let's go through what we're excited about next year. We'll do it real quick.
Jurassic Park Fallen Kingdom, for sure.
Very excited. Saw the trailer.
Not yet.
Oh. Just well, that little clip of Chris Pratt playing with Baby Blue.
Yeah, I love that. So cute.
So cute. Han Solo movie.
The new Predator remake.
The new Predator remake. Super stoked on that.
Not super excited about Ready Player One.
No, not excited about Ready Player One.
I'm not super into that. I mean, I am nostalgic about certain things, but I'm not... I don't really want to be in an orgy of nostalgia.
No. The Black Panther, so stoked on that one. I'm looks in. Amazing.
I'm in.
Annihilation, a dystopian film based on a book.
Yep.
I own the book. I have yet to read it.
Natalie Portman's in that one, right?
Natalie Portman's in
that
it.
That one looks good.
Yeah. I really want to... Can't wait to read it. Can't wait to see it.
The Meg.
The Meg about the Megalodon.
Has Jason Statham in it.
Excited to laugh at that one. Ant-Man and the Wasp is coming out. Oh, very Ant-Man. Excited about that.
Ant-Man's one of my favorites.
And I am excited for the Wasp to come into the picture.
Yeah, she's going to be cool.
Pacific Rim Uprising, as we said, we're stoked.
How could you not be excited?
Oh,
it looks goofy.
It looks much goofier than the first one. The first one was really dark.
I'm okay with the goofy.
Yeah.
Except in this next film that's coming out, Rampage.
Well, it's not goofy. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You want it to be
goofy.
That's
what I was trying to say, actually. Because the game that it's based off of was goofy. And this is like trying to make it super serious. And
it's awful.
They're just basically using the name.
Yeah.
It's about giant monsters, and they're kind of rolling along with this kaiju popularity wave. And they just took some intellectual property, and they're like, okay, make a movie about this.
So also next year, apparently Star Trek 4 is coming out.
Yeah. Well, I like the last three.
I like the last three, even when J.J. Abrams wasn't directing.
Yeah, Simon Pegg wrote it.
Yeah, Simon Pegg's fucking great.
I love Simon Pegg.
X-Men The New Mutants.
We'll see how that goes.
We'll see. We'll see. Avengers Infinity Wars.
Oh, super excited. Very I've been stoked. Seeing clips online. The trailer's coming out tomorrow.
Ooh, we'll post a reaction on Twitter
tonight. We're recording this on Tuesday night. So.
Oh, yes.
So, it comes out Wednesday. And
by the time you hear it, you'll have seen it.
Yeah, so I've been seeing clips, and they've been leaking clips, and it looks pretty good.
I can't wait to see it. Cloverfield God Particle, very stoked.
I'm not so sure about that, what that one's about, but it's supposed to be in that Cloverfield universe.
Yeah, they did really well continuing it for Cloverfield Lane. So I'm pretty stoked to see what they do. Continuing on.
Maybe they'll somehow connect Cloverfield Lane and Cloverfield, the first two movies, somehow.
Yeah, maybe. And then lastly, at least for now, because sometimes they'll change their release schedule or whatever.
Yeah.
X-Men Dark Phoenix, which I'm super stoked about because Jean Grey is my favorite X-Man.
Yeah, I'm not sure who's playing her, though.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I wonder if it's the girl from Apocalypse.
I think it was her. I think that's a continuation of that universe.
She's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just came in the story like last minute.
Yeah.
Last time.
Yeah. But I like Jean Grey also.
I love Jean Grey. She's my fave. She's my fave. All right. So that is it for best and worst of 2017. Basically, worst Transformers.
Geostorm.
Best Logan, Guardians, War of for Planet of the Apes.
Skull Island.
Yes. So we have some questions from our podcasterino friends.
Yeah, we got some Q&A from the castaways.
Yeah. So, Jarrett, if you want to hit us with those.
So, we just talked about this movie a little while ago. This is from the Bespotted Geek podcast. Do you consider Star Wars more sci-fi or more fantasy, and why?
That's a really hard question.
I know.
That's a really hard question because when you really think about it, it's like, okay, does it have the elements of a science fiction movie? Or does it more so have the elements of like a fantasy movie? And I think when you get down to it, it has more of the elements of a fantasy movie.
Yeah, definitely.
But with space technology, which would make it a science fiction. So it's like a mainly fantasy movie, but set in a science fiction world.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. The only thing that makes it sci-fi to me is the technology. But then the technology runs on something like crystals. It's like, what? Like the Death Star, like the lightsabers, they're powered by some crystals, you know? So it's like...
That's true. That's even more...
I was going to go the route, like, oh, it's sci-fi because of the technology. But then I was... While you were talking, I was like, oh, everything runs off some fucking... But then you can, like, interpret gasoline as something from the Earth, and it's like a crystal. It's like it can go in loops and loops. Yeah. I think that's why sci-fi and fantasy are thrown together into groups all the time.
Yeah, and then there's, like, when you do a sci-fi movie, you can either go hard sci-fi or, like, fantasy.
Yeah.
Because
you can liken Luke's X-Wing, you can think of it as his horse.
Yeah.
It's like, how far do you go when you think about this?
Yeah, so, I mean, I would consider it more so a fantasy movie. Yeah. But it's set in a science fiction-like world. It's not like it's set in a world like Lord of the Rings, which is clearly fantasy.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Kind of take from that what you will. I'm no Star Wars professor.
No, I'm completely with you. I know it's cool to have different views, but that's exactly my answer. It's a fantasy genre that lives in a world that's governed by science, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, science takes liberties, I guess. I don't know how to put it.
Like, it's hard to tell you what I'm thinking in my brain sometimes, and this is kind of one of those instances. Like, it's not set in, like, a forest with fairies and, you know, woodland creatures.
Because those computers definitely don't work off pixie dust.
Yeah.
You know?
Just everything's, like, gray and dull or, like, on a weird planet. And it's, like, that kind of sets you in the sci-fi mood. But when you think about all the elements, you're like, oh, that's fucking fantasy, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you feel like you're watching sci-fi, but you're watching fantasy.
Yeah. Sorry. Anyway. So that's our answer.
That's our answer. There you go.
We hope
you can sell that for 2 cents.
We hope we stirred you in the right direction. All right. So this comes from the Superiority Complex podcast. How do you feel about the Marvel Cinematic Universe moving closer towards sci-fi?
Love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Because I love sci-fi, and Marvel is like my favorite comic books.
Yeah.
So, and especially because Guardians is my favorite and is like super sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm loving the fact that it's getting more and more sci-fi, like all of my favorite superheroes.
I think most of it already lives in sci-fi. Like, that's how the Hulk got made. That's how... Captain America got made.
I think Marvel is more sci-fi, is like very much so more sci-fi than DC, because all of the superheroes came from like a science fiction beginning. Even, you know, Tony Stark compared to Batman, you know, if those are two superheroes you would compare from each universe.
Yeah.
Being rich, making their own gear and stuff. I think that Tony Stark is way more science fiction than Bruce Wayne. Like, he, you know, builds his, like, a robot. He has, like, this weird core that keeps his heart alive. Like, all this stuff is way more science fiction-y than Batman, who lives in, like, an old Victorian house and lives underground.
Yeah, I think a lot of the villains in DC are either... I mean, not all of them, but a lot of the more popular villains for DC are... like, usually just regular criminal guys with a personality or a persona. Or there's some kind of more of a paranormal kind of a villain or something like that. Not something usually built by some kind of a scientific experiment or something like that. Or like an alien.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there are. I mean, the universe is so big now. I'm not an expert on DC, but...
But even if it's an alien, like it's an alien or something, that's still sci-fi.
I mean, obviously there are aliens because.
But it's not like they're.
Green Lantern is an alien.
It's very regular, just like. This is very rarely that it's just a regular person. It's usually like Dr. Octopus who build the giant octopus suit.
Yeah.
Or like someone that's been deformed by a medical experiment. Or,
yeah, yeah.
You know, something crazy like that.
But I think that it really helped out Thor's series moving closer into sci-fi because it was probably the weakest of the series.
Yeah.
I mean, besides the fact that Hulk doesn't really have a series.
Thor's... Neither does Black Widow.
No, and I...
Or Hawkeye.
I'm okay with Hawkeye not having one. I wish...
I wish Black Widow did. I want to see her origin story so bad.
But yeah, I think the last Thor movie is the best of the Thor movies, and because of that reason.
They brought it.
The first Thor movie is okay as a origin as a first movie. The second movie was not that good, and this last one really helped it out. And I think the sci-fi is a good thing for it.
Yeah, I think science fiction is only making Marvel Universe better.
Okay, and this is a hard one. This is a hard question for me. This comes from a Useless Debates in Pop Culture podcast. This is. If you could be a protagonist in one movie you've reviewed this year, who would it be and why? I would not be the protagonist in Willow Creek.
No. No. No, no, no. No, 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 no.
I can tell you who I would not be. I guess Kevin Bacon turns out okay. He doesn't end up in the sequel, so I guess that's a good thing.
And he just gets, and he gets to fight giant worms. That's a great thing.
He almost dies. That's the worst.
Not the blob. Ooh, Gamera.
You think Gamera's the protagonist?
Best situation for a woman.
Oh,
in these movies.
I was thinking Gamera was the protagonist.
No, the female protagonist in that movie probably gets the best situation out of the ones we talked about so far.
That's probably true. I would probably not be Fire in the Sky, or Capricorn One. I would have to go with...
Not King Kong.
Not King Kong.
Not King Kong for me, no thank you.
I'd probably have to go Live, Die, Repeat.
I was going to say, I want to be in Live, Die, Repeat. I want to be badass Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we think too much alike. Scary.
Yeah. I mean, I guess them is okay. Nothing spectacular. At least you live.
Yeah, and Gamera, at least the lady scientist.
She has a connection. Oh, no. That's the little girl that has a connection with Gamera.
Oh, I'd be the little girl then.
You want a connection with Gamera?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I'd be the little girl, and or least, I'd be Emily Blunt.
At least in them, like, you probably are famous for killing the ants. At least if the guy was.
Yeah.
But I would say Live, Die, Repeat.
Live, Die, Repeat.
Here's from one of our oldest podcast buddies, Home Video Hustle Podcast.
Hey.
Hustle, motherfucking hustle. Do you like your sci-fi to be more realistic, or do you like it more outlandish? That's easy. I mean, there's nothing fucking realistic about kaiju, so I'm going outlandish.
Well, the thing is you didn't ask your question right. Because the thing is that the outlandish is the more realistic.
Yeah, she's being philosophical now, folks. There was something in that cookie.
Shut up. But like, you know, with the stories about the aliens and stuff, that's all real. So that's what I'm saying, Home Video Hustle. You take that home, you sell it for 2 cents.
Why do you keep saying that?
All right.
And I mean, I guess Godzilla is real. He lives in our heart, so.
Praise Godzilla!
Praise Godzilla!
Praise him!
Praise him. He's our Lord.
He's our Lord and Savior.
So, yeah. That's Home Video Hustle Podcast. Go follow all those podcasts. They are lovely people.
Go follow them all. All right, well, it has been so much fun doing this bonus episode. Yeah. If you loved it, let us know.
Let us know.
Let us know. We don't know what you want unless you tell us.
And we are doing a very special December double feature. And we are just too excited to keep it a secret.
We're doing December Dinosaurs! So please subscribe, rate, review. Not one, not two, not three, not four, but five stars. So you can keep up to date with our December dinos coming up. And also, so the rating us and all that stuff helps us so that we can continue to bring more amazing content to your ears.
Follow us on Twitter.
Follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram. And also, we have very exciting things coming down the pipeline. Stickers.
We're going to have some giveaway for some stickers, probably.
And we already have t-shirts up in the store. If you want to know where to find that, it's on our website under the tab store. More t-shirts to come. More exciting things to happen. So it's been fun.
Very fun.
So thank you for joining us.
At the concession stand.
At the concession stand.
At the concession stand. I hope you enjoyed the concession stand. We got snacks and things.
This is going terribly.
Yeah.
Praise Godzilla.
Praise Godzilla. Praise him. Praise him. Praise Godzilla. Oh, we love him. Oh, yeah.
Movies playing next at Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In on Instagram, Facebook, and our website, justaddthat.com. Catch us on Twitter at SFDFDI Podcast.
We sure hope you enjoyed the movie. Thank you for joining us. As always, we're glad to have you. Please replace your speaker, dispense of all trash, and watch for children as you carefully exit our theater. Good night.